Thank you for tuning in to the Memoirs of Her. My name is Miss Mendez, and I am the host on the Memoirs of Her podcast. And tonight's topic of discussion will be based on social and emotional intelligence. So when I think about social and emotional intelligence, I think about having the ability to be poised and pressed when acting accordingly with groups of people from various cultures and ethnicities. Some social intelligence requires the actions of one as the premise of their own behaviorism for all. It's a common intellect and interest centered on the conversations or interactions with the use of various dialogues shared between two people or more in a social setting. Social intelligence is knowing when to speak in turn, when to listen, your ability to comprehend, and how to articulate yourself during a conversation with another person. Now, on the other hand, emotional intelligence is more of an internal factor, whereas one is in control of their own behavior, their thoughts, and mannerism towards another person. It is about knowing how to find a level of temperament with your emotions, and temperament can be achieved through various avenues of coping mechanisms, techniques, and with cognitive dissonance, in addition to learning how to regulate triggered emotions and when to recuperate. Social and emotional intelligence has impacted me in a tremendous way. I've learned social and emotional intelligence is more than just trying to interact and relate to others on some level without having to feel like I'm weird or eccentric in my approach when holding a conversation or socializing with others on a particular intellectual level. And that's just my personal opinion. Also, in addition to my opinion, having the ability to speak multiple languages instead of just the main universal language of English can put others at a better advantage. And for most people who can only articulate the English language, granted, people like to feel understood and connected with their speech delivery of message and the ability to comprehend on the receiving end. So when others speak multiple languages, the social and emotional IQ between the two people or more can then be increased based on the relevancy and communication factor. Nonetheless, I am grateful for having the ability to express myself and be understood by those who are not just hearing me and the sound of my voice, but are listening. I am grateful for the people who listen attentively to gather the message and wisdom being shared when I do conduct a broadcast or share a blog posting on my website, The Memoirs of Her. So tonight on my podcast, I will be discussing the meaning and examples of social and emotional intelligence and how social and emotional intelligence is important in our lives, and more details to come using Indeed.com as a resource for information. Okay, so the first question that I have wanted to come up with is, what is the meaning of social and emotional intelligence? Okay, so social intelligence, it's when a person has the capability and capacity to understand oneself and others during group settings or events, and social intelligence can be developed by practice, learned behavior, and experiences with others. Now, a fun fact would be, experts of a digital age suggested that the increase in digital communication will harm or hinder people's ability to develop social intelligence because people use their phone excessively. However, the five examples of social intelligence are: when you don't use sarcasm, they don't use sarcasm or patronizing forms of communication in a casual setting. So when you don't use those tactics, those are considered tactics and strategies. Sarcasm and patronizing, you don't use that in social settings because it's just distasteful. Now, some people enjoy the banter. Some people enjoy the comedy behind it. But at the end of the day, when you are dealing with different groups of people and class of people, sarcasm and patronizing is the least bit of the lows of conversations to actually have an exchange with one another. Another factor is that knowing how to read the room and act accordingly and intellectually. So that's what social intelligence entail, when you are able to assess the people in the room, you know, assess what's going on or whatever the case might be, and being able to move accordingly on your behalf. Okay, Another good social etiquette of signifies social intelligence is when you can remember people's name. Okay, so a lot of times when you are able to address a person by their name that they would like for you to address them as, you know, a lot of times, you know, that is a good form of social intelligence to have, per se. And then you know how to casually ask about their well-being or a well-being of another person, or simply greet another person accordingly to the time of day and when entering a room full of people. So it's normal to say good morning, good afternoon, or good night, you know, things of that sort, because it's just common courtesy at the end of the day. And then lastly, you know how to pause and listen before responding during an intellectual conversation with someone. Okay, so now that I talk about the five examples of social intelligence, what it is and what it's not, I do want to highlight what is emotional intelligence. Being that I talked about social, now we need to focus more or less on the emotional aspect. So emotional intelligence is when a person is in control of their own emotions and are conscious and aware of the emotions of others around them. Emotional intelligence can be developed by practice, self-awareness, and self-management. And those five examples consist of, for emotional intelligence, are the ability to accept criticism and responsibilities. And then second, the ability to share feelings with others in a non-aggressive manner. And then number three is having empathy for others. Okay. And number four would be the ability to set boundaries when saying and or emphasizing on saying no or yes to certain situations or circumstances. Okay, and lastly, number five is the ability to move on from an unfortunate mistake. Those are all examples of emotional intelligence on behalf of the person in particular. Okay, so now that I talked about the difference between social and emotional intelligence and gave five examples of what it is and what it's not, I want to talk about how is social and emotional intelligence is important in our lives. Okay, so this is more or less on a personal aspect. Okay, so the way you can evaluate that is based off your level of empathy. So empathy has a lot to do with logic, yes, interaction with others, yes, and it has a lot to do with being able to relate to someone. So empathy is having the ability to intellectually connect and relate to others on an emotional level, okay? And this is so important because at the end of the day, I understand some people have to make assessments and judgment towards people and situations and dynamics and be able to learn from them or be cautious of. I understand that. But when you take the word judgment and you don't just loosely judge a person prematurely, or you just judge them to, you know, further get away from the social interaction. But that word judgment has a lot to do with the mentality factor. And sometimes we may not even know all of the reasons or the cause and effect behind why people do the things that they do. So just because the action in itself may not be in agreement or may not be agreeable or on any level, at the end of the day, there's a reason, there's a cause and effect to why this person may have done it. And we may not totally understand the why, and we may not understand the cause and the effect. We only understand the results and how, you know, we don't agree with it, you know, because a decision made on behalf of the person, per se. So when we take away from judgment and we learn to empathize with the person, understanding, getting the chance to understand the cause and the effect behind the decisions and actions that they do, you know, sometimes we can actually get the whole total 360 view versus just getting a 90 degree or 180 degree on a person and the decisions and why they did what they did. Okay, so having that level of empathy, you know, to understand someone, to comprehend, you know, in communication, what's being said, the exchange and the message and things of that sort, those things are so important. Now, notice that I didn't say have pity on a person as far as patronizing them because something bad has happened or they made a bad decision. No, having empathy is when you put aside the patronizing and you can actually see that person for who they are and try to get to understand the dynamics behind their actions and things of that sort. Okay, now I feel like judgment should happen in the system of law. Like when people go to court and stuff like that, those things need to be there, need to happen there as far as accusations and things of that sort. And that's just my opinion. And yes, like I said, as a person, and just in general, you want to be able to make your own judgment and analysis on someone. You know, you may have a lot of constructive criticism to give to someone for the betterment of themselves and things of that sort, and that's all fine. But I'm just here to try to just give the underlining aspect of empathy in itself, to empathize with that person. Don't sympathize with them. Empathize with them. Try to understand them. Treat them with respect. Treat them like a person and no less than that. You know? So yes, that's what I mean as far as having empathy. That shows a level of social and emotional intelligence on your behalf. Now, the second part would be to have maturity. And maturity consists of maintaining the intellect, the behavior, and mannerism of an adult or young adult. Okay? And the third aspect would be a conversational effectiveness, is knowing when to speak in turn and to listen effectively in order to respond. And number four would be listening skills. Having the ability to actively listen effectively to another person. And then number five would be the trustworthiness. Developing a healthy trust for oneself and others with the level of respected boundaries. So these attributes help with our social interactions in parenting, friendships, marriages, love relationships, family relationships, rapport with colleagues, community, cohesion, and social affiliations. Okay, now to also keep in mind, when it comes down to social emotional intelligence in our personal lives, we must always be on alert and aware as far as our self-awareness, self-management, and our social awareness. This is what is the conduit to us being able to manage our relationships and increase our social skills as well. Okay, so now that I talked about the importance of social and emotional intelligence in our personal lives, I would like to talk about, can emotional and social intelligence be developed? That's the question. Like, say, like, if you didn't grow up in a home where there was much respect or mannerism, so you didn't know really how to conduct yourself, you know, in public or when you went to school or things of that sort, and so you may be ill-mannered. You know, so I'm just here to say that according to socialgents.net, emotional and social intelligence can be divided into four modules, which are brain behaviors, which deals with thinking mechanisms, atonement, which is understanding someone's emotions, adaptability is learning when to respond, and awareness is recognizing and identifying emotions. So those are some of the ways that you can develop social and emotional intelligence according to socialengines.net. So once again, can emotional and social intelligence be developed on behalf of a person? Yes, emotional and social intelligence can be developed, and I'm going to tell you how. So, emotional intelligence, number one, is practicing paying attention to your emotions, okay? So, when you practice how to be in tune with your emotions and how you feel it and validate those emotions, not projecting your emotions onto someone else and behaving in a manner where you taking out your aggression and frustration on another person. No, emotional intelligence is when you acknowledge when you feel upset, when you're angry, and you understanding the cause and effect behind it, and you dealing with it, you collecting it and collaging it, and then you're releasing it, you channeling it into something else that where you take a negative energy and you transmuting it into something positive. So when you're able to learn that technique on how to take something negative, whether it's your emotions, the way you're feeling, you know, bad memories, and you be able to transmute that into something way greater and positive, that is a form of emotional intelligence, because you're learning how to take your disorientations and make peace with whatever it is that you feel, whether it is a bad emotion, whether you are depressed or whatever the case might be. You're learning how to feel the emotion and how to filter it out and be able to move along to the next chapter of your life by transmuting it into something positive and focusing on that while you weigh out the negative energy. Okay, and feelings. The second thing of emotional intelligence is when you learn to take accountability for your behavior. A lot of times when people don't want to accept that they did something wrong or they made a mistake, it just makes things even worse. So a lot of times what it's about being an adult and being a young adult is when you take full responsibility for everything that you do, everything that you say, whether it's good or bad, but having that acknowledgement and taking accountability for your actions and behavior is a high level of emotional intelligence, because it shows that you're not into playing the blame game. You're not into being condescending or deceitful, but you are being an honest person with yourself, an honest person who you're interacting with. That's emotional intelligence, okay? And then another form of emotional intelligence is questioning your own opinions, okay? When you can question your own opinions, that's a form of emotional intelligence. And number four is always take responsibility of your own feelings and do not project it onto other people. Okay, and lastly, number five is finding an alternative to distract you from alarming emotions. Okay, so now that I talked about emotional intelligence and what it's all about, you obviously can see that you can apply these tactics to your life at any time, at any moment that you choose to, just based off of how you change your mindset and developing good character and getting rid of bad habits and starting new good habits. So yes, emotional intelligence is attainable if you put your mind to it and wanting to change. Okay, so social intelligence is about honing in on a particular social skill. Then find someone who implements the trait or skill in a professional manner and start to adapt those skills. Okay, this is how you can develop social intelligence. Number two is put yourself in a person's shoes. And this means figuratively speaking. And in other words, it means to imagine yourself as the person practicing social intelligence. How would you look as far as having good manners, knowing when to speak, knowing how to hold a conversation and things of that sort? That's what it means to basically put yourself in the other person's shoes, as in, you know, how you will be able to maneuver and implement those good qualities of emotional and social intelligence. And number three is practice, practice, and practice on a particular social skill. So a good social skill is remembering people's names, okay? Or being able to greet people at a certain time of day, and then taking it up a top notch as far as being able to articulate those times of days in a secondary language. And that's just a suggestion. And number four is try social interaction, which means face-to-face versus using digital means to communicate on social media with other people. That's how you'll be able to develop your confidence and be able to be in a situation where you can interact with someone face-to-face and, you know, carry on a conversation with feeling secure and not insecure or self-conscious about yourself when you're interacting with someone versus on a digital phone through text messaging or social media. And number five is go to social networking events with large gatherings and practice the social acumen. And what the social acumen is relates to human tendency and various social structures. Okay, so now that I talked about how you can develop emotional and social intelligence, I want to talk about how is emotional and social intelligence important academically and professionally in our lives. Now, before I begin, this is where Indeed.com come in as far as a resource of information. So according to Indeed.com, social intelligence is important by developing your social intelligence may help you learn to resolve conflicts by creating relationships with your peers and making yourself more approachable. It may also improve your general communication skills by helping you articulate your ideas. And social intelligence can allow you to be better complete team projects as you learn more about the goals of your peers. So that's what social intelligence is within the workplace or educational institution. Okay, so now personal social intelligence consists of verbal and nonverbal fluency. So that means you're able to read body language just as much as you are able to read in between the lines when someone is communicating with you. Okay, knowledge of social rules, you know, having certain proper etiquette, whether you are in a school setting or in a work setting, or when you are at a very fine wine event. They are social rules and etiquettes that you may have in conducting yourself with certain mannerisms and traits. Okay. Active listening is a form of social intelligence, because a lot of times people just passively listen to people where they have selective hearing when listening to someone, where they just hearing them and not actually listening to attentively to get the information and utilize the information in particular was being given to them. So many times people are hearing where it goes through one ear and out the other, and then they miss the whole concept of instructions or directions given or a message given through a person when you don't have active listening. So it takes active listening to be able to develop your social intelligence, okay? And then understanding your emotions, okay? Understanding that just because someone offends you or someone is defensive towards you doesn't mean that it should get you out of character and out of your profession and just being who you are, whether you are a student, coworker, or whatever the case might be, okay? Now, moving along to, but not least, but I talked about the personal aspect of social and emotional intelligence when interacting with people. Now I want to talk about the professional aspect of social intelligence and what it consists of when you are interacting with others. Okay. And the first thing being is to have respect of the person, impression management, conflict resolution, personal development, motivation, culture intelligence, and of course emotional intelligence, and lastly leadership social roles. So I'm going to go briefly in depth what it means on according to indeedcareerguides.com. okay, so when it comes down to respect, I'm going to read it. Please listen very carefully to all my listeners. Now, social intelligence, why it's important in the workplace or educational institution, is respect. An increase in social intelligence can lead to more respect for your peers as you better understand their feelings and motivation. This may improve collaborations and productivity by encouraging your coworkers or classmates to express their opinions and ideas. Respect may lead to a positive work culture or school culture where team members share a common goal of improving their professional and academic performance. Now, impression management includes influencing the way your peers perceive you by thoughtfully choosing your words and actions around them. So for example, you can use these skills during business meetings by focusing on the strongest part of your proposals that may be more likely to impress your teammates. Social intelligence can create better understanding of your peers' emotions, which may help you understand how to best appeal to them. And conflict resolution. Conflict resolution is the ability to achieve peaceful solutions through communication. Building effective relationships between peers may make it easier to compromise when team members disagree about how to complete a project or resolve an issue. The understanding of your peers that comes from social intelligence may allow you to brainstorm potential solutions to conflicts that can improve overall operation and workplace morale. Personal development. A valuable element of social intelligence, the ability to assess your own skills and achievements and the emotions attached to them. This may allow you to develop your professionalism and establish the relationship between your work and your personal lives. High social intelligence can help you build self-confidence, advance in your career, and accomplish your long-term career goals. And motivation. High social intelligence may lead you to encourage yourself and others more easily by having a better understanding of their feelings and goals. Forming better relationships may encourage cooperation, which can build effective workplace relationships, and those with high social intelligence may inspire others through their communication. So when people work well together, they may feel more motivated by the positive workplace environment, healthy relationship, and improved outcomes. And then we have cultural intelligence. Team members who have different cultural backgrounds may approach projects and collaborations in unique ways. And understanding these approaches can help you better learn the viewpoints of your peers. Social intelligence may allow you to understand your peers' culture better by putting their actions and emotions into context. Social intelligence encourages improved understanding and compassion about peers' different opinions and perspective. And emotional intelligence is the ability to read emotions may come with more advanced social intelligence. High emotional intelligence can allow to better identify things like the different facial expressions, tone of voice, and body language that team members use in a situation. This can help you understand how to accommodate different communication styles and assign roles during projects that fit team members' skills, strengths, and personalities. And then we have the leadership. Okay, social intelligence may lead to effective leadership since it can allow you to motivate your peers towards a common goal, learning which people your teammates prefer to work with, the expressions on their face and their reaction to their current projects can develop your leadership skills as well. And social intelligence may allow leaders to be optimistic and confident, which can help them be more friendly and approachable as well. And lastly, we have social roles. Social intelligence can lead you to better adapt to your work environment by understanding social roles and how they fit into the workplace. You can create a more unified team effort by learning that part each social role takes in a project and knowing when to help others fulfill their roles. Enforcing proper behavior in yourself and others can lead to better overall team unity. Okay, so I broke that down as far as professional social intelligence and how it can be implemented, whether in a workplace or educational institution, and why it's important. Okay, so with that being said, I thank you all for listening to the Memoirs of Her show. And of course, I hope that you were able to get some juice and I was able to spread some light on social and emotional intelligence. And I do encourage you, if you don't have it or you do have it and you want to highlight some certain qualities or traits, I say kudos and more power to you in your approach in developing your character, your social intelligence skills, and emotional intelligence skills. You know, I always say emotional intelligence is when you don't allow people to get close to the center of your being and to make waves and turbulence. You don't allow people to do that. So with that being said, thank you all for listening to the Memoirs of Her broadcast once again. And I hope that you all have a wonderful evening. Bye-bye.